Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I want to speak out of a kind of an obscure passage of Scripture for you. It may be difficult to find, particularly 9 o'clock in the morning, but you can use the index in your Bible if you need to. And it's Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. So go ahead, open up your Bible there. And God really spoke to me a verse. Now, you know, of course, man, getting the opportunity to preach for Mike his first week as your new pastor, I just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, really, what is the verse that Healing Place people need right now as they just look toward the future? Of course, springtime's my favorite season of the year, and it's the most beautiful day almost of the year. And here is the verse that came to me, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, I like that, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Let's close our eyes just a minute and pray. Father, this morning we came to church today, first of all, excited about the direction of the Holy Spirit for Healing Place Church, confirmed by the overseers and trustees unanimously. And now, Lord, I thank you for the congregation. As we study your word, Lord, would you speak to us? We bind the devil, the thief who would try to steal the word. Lord, let it fall upon good ground, receptive hearts, and produce a harvest right here. Let people get saved, let people get delivered, and let people get healed. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. I love that first three words, in the beginning. You know, what the Lord spoke to me, particularly for you guys, is the importance of a new beginning. 20 years of successful ministry that God has done. For Bethany, it's 50 years. This year will be our 50th year. My dad is still alive. He's 94. And my mom died 5 years ago. And daddy's been living with me. Every morning I go in there, we solve all the world's problems. It's really cool. And he watches Fox News all day and tells me what's going on in the world. But, you know, at 50 years or 20 years, it really makes no difference. The important thing is that a church always have eyes on the future. In the beginning, let's let today, May the 5th, 2013, just be really kind of like a new launch, a new beginning for what this church has already done. You know, a rocket goes up to the first stage, and the first stage kind of runs out of fuel, and it drops off, and that second stage kicks in and jumps it all the way out into orbit. What I've been feeling as I've been around here Wednesday night and then just talking to various people is that the church is ready even to blast into a completely new orbit of influence and direction and helping people. What would happen if this church doubled in the next 7 or 8 years? Come on, somebody say amen to that. Absolutely possible. Now, in the beginning, notice the steps that it took for God to create a new world. And I'm speaking on the subject today, how to change your world. Some of you in here are going through some dark times in your life. Notice it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. What a terrible situation. I mean, God starts the Bible out with this calamitous chaos that you hardly even want to read about. And here's the beginning of the Bible. That's got to mean something to me. And that is that God can take any terrible, horrible, wicked, awful situation and start with that and make a wonderful, glorious, beautiful world for you and I to live in. So I don't know what you're walking through as a person. I really don't know. I mean, God knows you. He knows you're here at 9 o'clock. Let me talk to you about your world, because your world can be going along great, everything wonderful, no problems, and all of a sudden your world changed. That's happened to me several times in my life. Just one report or one difficulty or one financial problem or health problem, and your world can change. So let's follow the pattern. If we just follow the exact pattern that God used when he was in a troubling situation, we're going to come out with the same exact results. I hope you have something to take notes with this morning. And if you're taking notes, let's look right at verse 2. It says, and. Thank God for the conjunction there. It's not but or it's not over, but and. Whenever you're going through a storm of life, difficulties and trials happen in your life, there's always an and. There's a conjunction. God hooks something onto that problem. And it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering or moving over the face of the waters. Now, here's the first little bit of good news that I have for you this morning in terms of how to change your world. And that is the Holy Spirit is always there in the darkness, in the trouble, in the chaos, in the confusion. The Holy Spirit is always there to bring about a new solution. I've been in so many things. You imagine, I've been pasteurizing in this city for 30 years. And I've walked through this problem and that problem. Pastor Mike, I can't even name them all. The things that we've gone through and been through, and we'll never come out of this, Lord, we'll never. And then I'm just reminded, and the Spirit of God. And maybe you have a child that's backslid. Maybe they're sitting in the penitentiary today, or they're in a rehab unit. And the Spirit of God. Whatever you ever go through, David said, though I make my bed in hell or I ascend to the highest heights, yea, the Spirit of God is with me. And the thing I love about this, it says the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. He moves. Interestingly enough, in Hebrew, the phrase should be translated, the Spirit of God was moved. It's a passive tense. He was moved. You know, when you're watching TV, the Boston bombings come on, you're moved. Something in you feels compassion. That's the Hebrew word. The darkness was there, but the Spirit of God was moved. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but God loves you very much. Could you say amen? He does, as a church, as a person. And the Holy Spirit is right here. Boy, what powerful worship we had this morning. And just the presence of God. That's some of the best singing I've heard in a long time. Can you give the worship band a good hand clap? Come on now. What a powerful time of worship as the Spirit. But He's moved over your problem. It's like when Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus. The Bible says He groaned in Himself. And then it says He wept. That blesses me. We don't serve a detached deity off somewhere. He doesn't feel our problems. He's way, way over at some other church or some other place. No, the Spirit of God is here right at this very moment. It says the Spirit was moved. And the first thing you've got to do to change your world, you've got to connect to the Holy Spirit. You've got to say, now, Holy Spirit, guide me, because your flesh wants to take charge and your flesh wants to rise up and you want to get upset and you want to say something to somebody and you want, but you, what you got to do is say, now, Holy Spirit, what do you have in mind for me to do now? How will you change my world? In fact, He changes your world by dreams and visions. Dr. Cho is a good friend of mine. I've been on his board for 15 years, that little tiny church over there in Seoul, Korea. 750,000 active members. That's bigger than the city of Baton Rouge is in his church. Are you listening to me? So I'm on his board. That's almost kind of ridiculous to me. But Dr. Cho got Parkinson's disease, and he said he was in the hospital ready to die. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, I can't talk to you anymore. He said, why not, Lord? He said, the Holy Spirit said, because I only speak in the language of dreams and visions. And you've lost your dream and your vision. He apologized. He said, Lord, forgive me. And the Lord showed him he would add 15 years to his life. The Lord healed him there in the hospital. And I just got an email from Dr. Cho in December. He preached to 1 million people in India in one night on one field. He's like a new man because he got his dream back. He got his vision back. See, the Bible says, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit. Your young men will see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. That's why I know I'm still a young man. I'm still seeing visions. And I believe in the heart of Mike and Rachel, there's a vision. They're carrying forward the vision of this church of serving the community and all of the things in missions and everything that Healing Place has stood for throughout these years. They've got a vision. They've got a dream. And I guess the way the Lord is going to give a new beginning to this church is for the Lord to put that dream and vision back in your heart and in your spirit and the Spirit of God moving. I thank the Lord we can pray in the Holy Spirit. We don't know how to pray in times of darkness and confusion, but the Holy Spirit will pray through us, Romans 8:26 says, with groanings too deep for words. He's the Spirit of freedom. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of love. Let me tell you, everything you need in your darkness, in your difficulty, and in your disaster, all that you need is to connect to the Holy Spirit. In fact, close your eyes right now. Turn your hands over just like this, like a big funnel. Everybody in the building, and just say, Holy Spirit, just out of your own heart, just say, Holy Spirit, I connect to you this morning. I connect to you. Father, we just thank you for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit that you're moving across this building, across the members of this church, and you're healing us and you're blessing us and you're restoring us. And Lord God, you're giving us new dreams and new visions. And Lord, we thank you for it and give you the glory in Jesus' name. Now go ahead and just clap your hands for the Holy Spirit. He's wonderful. He's great. He's marvelous. He's powerful. He's all powerful. So the very first thing we see God did to recreate his world, his environment, is he let the Holy Spirit turn loose into his situation. Then number two, notice it says this, and God said, I'm reading in verse three now, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be light. And there was light. Here's the second principle. You can't miss it. It's so simple. The Bible is so simple that we miss it. And that is this. You've got to speak the word into your darkness. That's all you got to do. Speak the word of God. God said. Now, we are human beings. We're the only creatures on the earth that can talk. You know, I know people talk about porpoises talk. They go, and that's all good. I mean, that's good. But they can't quote Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet like we can. They can't get up and move a crowd of people or speak and tell you, I love you. They don't do that. My dog can smile, you know, and he sings with happy birthday. Every time we sing happy birthday, he sings, oh. But that's not talking. We're the only people on earth that have the gift of language. God gave you that for a reason. Your tongue is going to change your world. And I don't know if you're aware of the power of that tongue. One, somebody wrote a book called Hung by the Tongue. That's a pretty good title. Because my tongue, I've learned that I create a part of my marriage world with what I say about Melanie. Every day I tell her, you are beautiful. I introduce her as my teenage looking wife that's down on the front row. And it's true. She's become like that. My world is created by my mouth. Somebody said your mouth is like a magnet. That your mouth is attracting to it the resources to fulfill what you're saying. If I have a garbage can in a motel room, and I'm in motels all the time now, and I put in that garbage can banana peels and candy wrappers and Coca-Cola cans, and I put it all down in there, and they leave it for a few days, it's going to draw ants first, and it's going to draw some roaches, and it's going to even draw some rats. Somehow that garbage can full of garbage is attracting those resources. But if somebody walks in, they go, oh, they throw that garbage out, they wash it out, fill it with water, and put roses inside that garbage can like a vase, leave it alone, and in a few days it's going to attract bees, and then it's going to attract butterflies, and it's going to attract wonderful things. That's the power of your mouth. You're creating your world with your mouth. Dodie Osteen, dear friend of mine, Joel Osteen's mother, we've known her for years. I got the report in 1981 that Dodie had metastatic cancer of the liver. Her son, Paul, was in missions at ORU with me. I sent him to Africa as his first trip. Then he was the chief surgeon at Little Rock General. And he was there in Houston for the diagnosis for his mother at MD Anderson. They said, Ms. Osteen, you have 2 months to live. You've got metastatic cancer of the liver. She's 95 pounds. We're sending you home because there's nothing we can do. And they cried all the way home. Now, that's a world changer right there. She gets home and she got her Bible out and she put 42 verses down on a piece of paper about healing. She also put a picture of herself in her wedding dress and one with her on a horse as a teenager. And not only did she put those pictures by her, but she put that picture on the wall of her heart. And she was yellow as a gourd, as they say. She was down to 95 pounds. And she said, "That's what I'm going to look like again one day." And she took those 42 verses, and every day she would quote those verses out loud for about 30 or 40 minutes. It's become a book because after 8 months, suddenly, Dodie's health began to turn. And she outlived 2 months, 4 months, 8 months. And Brother Osteen came home one day and she had a vacuum cleaner and she was up vacuuming. He said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I feel better. My appetite's coming back." It wasn't a miracle overnight thing, but the word of God, as she spoke it into her darkness, she began to be healed. Now that was 1981. They brought a check for Katrina here to Bethany in 2005, she and Joel. And I said, "Dodie, you're looking good. That's 25 years she's been healed." She said, "Yeah, the doctor that gave me my diagnosis just died a month ago." She said, "I outlived my doctor." I said, "Dodie, what are you doing now?" She said, "I never leave my house without speaking those 42 verses into my darkness and into my situation." She's been healed now for 30 years. Think about that. Now, that's encouragement to somebody. You don't have to have some big shot come along, lay hands on you. That's wonderful. That's all good. But I'm telling you, the power is in the Word of God in your iPad or wherever you got it on your phone. But more than that, the miracle's in your mouth. God said, "Let there be light." I have to give you one more illustration. A lady in our church years ago, Rita Bullock. Rita was dying with stomach cancer, had half her stomach removed. She was in Earl K. Long Hospital. You guys know where that is. 5 months with tubes down her. She got down to 70 pounds. And my dad would go visit her as her pastor. And daddy would come home and say, "If God doesn't touch Rita, she won't be here a couple more days." But every time he went, Rita would quote the word of God, "By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed." With those tubes down her throat. And one morning at about 5 a.m, just at daybreak, some angels stood around her bed, the colors of the rainbow. When she woke up, there they stood. And one of them on the right, she couldn't see their faces. They just had a glory, but their colors of their robes were different colors. And right to the right of her, one of the angels said to her, "We're the angels of God who've been sent to heal you." And he laid his hand on her stomach, and she felt fire go all the way up through her esophagus. At 7, the intern came in that checked her every morning, and he started pulling tubes out. He said, "Miss Bullock, I'm going to be back in a few minutes," and he brought 8 doctors with him. They examined her for an hour, and at the end of the hour, they said, "Miss Bullock, we don't understand this. You don't have cancer anymore." He said, "We're going to let you go home. Do you have somebody that can come pick you up?" She said, "My daughter." And they said, "Now don't eat anything for days. You haven't had anything in your stomach. You've been fed intravenously for 5 months. She got home. Her daughter said, "What do you want to eat?" She said, "I would love to eat some red beans and rice." And she ate a big bowl of that. And she preached for 15 years, healed, until she died at 85 with something completely unrelated. Come on, give the Lord a great hand clap if you believe it. What am I saying to you? In your problem, in your situation, in this church, or in whatever you're walking through, if you'll speak positive things out of the Word of God, your mouth is the magnet. It's drawing those things to you. Speak a blessing over this person and that person, and even that guy that runs you off in the interstate. Just say, "Bless you, man." I mean, whatever you got to do, just keep your tongue positive. Proverbs says, "Death and life are in the power of your tongue, and out of it are the issues of life, and they that love it will eat the fruit." So I'm telling you, point number one is just connect to the Holy Spirit. Say, "Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. You know, pray through me, love through me, get dreams through me." And then secondly, you just start speaking the Word of God. Now, you got to get a few verses, you know, that pertain to your case. One guy, you know, He didn't know a verse, so he said, "I'll just open my Bible and put my finger down." You ever heard that? And he put his finger down, and it was on that verse that says, "Judas went out and hanged himself." And he rebuked that, and he turned over to another one, and it said, "Go thou and do likewise." And he rebuked that, and he put his finger down again. It says, "What thou doest, do quickly." You need to study the Word of God. Get you some verses about finances or about health or about children being saved or whatever. You'll change your world when you speak into your darkness. Amen. And here's the third one. A lot of people get excited about that. They say, oh, that's wonderful. That's all I need to do. But there's another verse, verse 4. God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. Now let's move one step further in this. You see, here's what I've learned about changing your world. The devil lives in the darkness. And that if there's darkness in your life, you must separate yourself from everything that's darkness. That means every lie, every wrong attitude, every bit of money you've stolen, anything that the devil is up there in heavenly places trying to bring an argument against your life or your character or your marriage or what, or your money or any of that, you have to say, today, I'm turning from darkness and I'm turning to the light. My daddy was in World War II. He tells me these stories. You know, he and I just talk for hours in there in the apartment where he lives with me. And he told me this one yesterday. I got to tell it to you. He was in North Africa as a staff sergeant in the Air Force, about 40 men under him. And they were sleeping on the ground in the desert. Thank God for the men and women who have served our country. And they're sleeping out there. Yeah, you just might as well give them a hand clap too. And my daddy, 94, slept on the ground there for a year and a half. And one night he awakened to the sound of a German bomber. It was a diesel engine. And it would whom, whom, whom. You could hear it up in the sky, but it's pitch black. And they knew a bomb would fall at any moment. And about that time, the searchlight came on that was near them. And the searchlight was playing all around the sky, trying to find this very dangerous bomber. And suddenly it locked on to it. And then that pilot got scared because the light bathed on his bomber and he started dipping and diving, but that light was just on him. And once they locked on him, he could not get away from that light. And then the anti-aircraft guns came over and that guy was history. They were saved because of the light. And I was thinking when Daddy was telling me that, how the devil loves the darkness, man. He loves to just cavort around and drop his bombs in the darkness. But the moment we just shine the light on that booger, as we might as well call him, and just say, I got you now. I know who you are now. You're not getting out of the light of God. He knows he's finished. And that's why you have to tell the truth. 100% truth in every situation. That's why we go to a court of law and they put your hand on a Bible. And what do they say? Do you promise to tell the truth? Is that where it ends? What else do they say? The whole truth. And what else? And I thought, why do they have to go into all that? It's because we figured out so many ways to lie. We tell a half truth. We tell an exaggerated truth. But I've just learned that I'm going to tell the truth. You say, well, it might embarrass me if I tell the truth. Well, just go down to Lowe's, get you a ladder, and get over it. The embarrassment lasts 30 seconds, but the shame of untruthfulness lasts a lifetime. Listen, separate from sin. If you're living with someone that's not your spouse and you're in sin, it's actually sin you're living in. You need to pack your toothbrush this afternoon and say, hey, I love you, honey, but I'm going to be over there. You be over here. We're going to do counseling. We're going to get married, but we're not going to be shacking up anymore. All right? And all this is, and hey, how about attitudes? If I have a bitterness in my heart towards you, or I'm prejudiced in my heart toward a group of people, or I got something down in my heart that's darkness, I am going to separate. God separated the light from the darkness. I love that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, what fellowship has light with darkness? What conquered has Christ with the devil? What does the temple of God have in common with the temple of idols? And it goes on and on giving questions about how can we have relationships with people that are in sin. Listen, when you get saved, it's not that you leave the world and that you're not going to be around sinners, but your best buddies cannot be sinners anymore that are sipping and tipping and dipping and doing all you used to do. You need to walk clean and say, I'm living in the light. I'm living in a righteous and a pure life. So just separate. And if you've stolen from somebody, just take it back. Whatever you need to do. Because the devil builds his little nest in your world on darkness. And if you make up your mind, even today, we're going to renounce some stuff and you're going to say, Lord, I'm through with that. I'm not going there anymore. First thing is you connect to the Holy Spirit. Second thing is that you speak the word of God into your darkness, into your situation. And thirdly, you tell that devil, that darkness, whatever he's done in your life to coexist with you, you tell him, I'm through with you. I'm leaving you. I'm truthful. I'm honest. I'm paying my bills. I'm clean. I'm going to live free of pornography. I'm going to live free of this. This is my day of freedom. And devil, you're done in my life. Now your world is really starting to change. And that brings me to the last one. You say, wow, you almost through? Yeah, I'm almost through. And that's in verse 26. Just drop down to verse 26. This is a great verse. And I could preach a lot about the dry land. You need to get solid in the Lord and blah, 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 blah. I'm going to drop down verse 26. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man. And that's a generic term for mankind. Let us make man in our image. Our being the first reference to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now, dog is not in the image of God. I'd love to have my dog in heaven, but he's not in the image of God. In our likeness, and let them have dominion. Everybody say that word, dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over every creeping thing. God wants to give you dominion over creeps too. Did you know that? Every creep. Now, I want to bring you to this last stage of what it means to change your world. Now we've come to this is the big spot. Because the other three are preliminaries. They're like foundational. First, connect to the Holy Spirit. Let him pray through you. Let him love through you. Let him dream through you. Secondly is speak the word of God. Every day, speak the word of God. Blessing over your children. Blessing over your business. Blessing over your family. And thirdly, separate from sin. It doesn't matter what you're tempted to do. Tell the devil, you're in the darkness. You're over there. I'm in the light. I'm over here. And I'm not coming in your direction. And then we come to this word, dominion. The word dominion is a word in Hebrew for the foot. It means to tread. Now, I wore the biggest pair of shoes I have in my closet today. Because I wanted to illustrate, I want to put my foot on the devil's head. I'm a 10 and a half shoe, but these feel like I'm a 12 and a half. And the word dominion, God told Adam, I'm giving you dominion over everything in your life. Now, you guys that fish and hunt, we're all excited because that means bass are going to start jumping in your boat. And turkeys and deer are going to run out and say, take me home to heaven with you, please. But I'm talking now about something more important. I'm talking about how Jesus took dominion over the devil for you. You know, in Joshua 10, it tells about Joshua's five kings of the enemy that were in a cave, and they brought him out and he laid him on the ground and he told his armory, he said, you put your foot on the neck of every king. I was thinking, you know, Joshua means Jesus in Hebrew. I was thinking about what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. If you're struggling with one of these five things, I hope you have five toes on your feet. One guy in the Bible had six, but I bet you all have five. And there's five things that I just want to touch on of how the Lord wants to give you dominion. And the first one was how Jesus was nailed to the cross. His hands took those horrible spikes. And the Bible says that he laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus paid the price for every sin, past, present and future. Everything that will ever happen in the human race has already been put upon Jesus when those nails went into his hands. And I want you to know this morning that the Lord has forgiven you. There's no condemnation. Maybe you're dealing with that spirit that's trying to make you think about your past. This is a new beginning today. This is a new day for you. And you're going to say, you know, I can't unscramble eggs. I can't go back to my past. I can't live life looking through the rearview mirror. I'll drop hamburgers and pickles and everything on my lap if I'm looking in the rearview mirror. I've got to look in the windshield. And I love that verse that says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's now. There's no condemnation. I know I'm not perfect, but you're looking at somebody that's the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Second thing I have dominion on is what he did at the whipping post. That post was 2 feet high, and they bowed the back of that person over it and tied him to the bottom of it, and then they just beat them to a pulp. Two different men would beat them and tear every shred of their skin off their back, and lashes went around their face and their stomach and everything. And I've read many accounts in medical journals and in historical journals about the scourging, and it's more awful than I can even describe. But what Isaiah told us is what Rita Bullock said that day before the angels showed up, is that by his stripes you have been healed. And I know that we don't always see miracles happen in a moment, but I'm telling you, Jesus Christ paid for your healing. And let me talk to you today. The Lord says this is your day of miracles and healing, and the Lord is going to deliver you. I don't care if your Aunt Brunhilde died with something. That doesn't mean that you have to die with it. The Lord said, I'll give you a full, long lifespan. How many of you want to live a good, long lifetime? Of course you do. Let's believe God. We're going to put our foot in a minute on that second devil's head. And that, you know, there's 12,000 diseases known to man. 12,000 of them. And every one of them were paid for. Jesus became a curse for you that you might be blessed with the blessing of Abraham. And then the third thing I believe dominion represents to me is what happened after he died. The Bible says he descended into the lower parts of the earth. And Jesus Christ defeated the devil and took the keys of hell and of death. I don't know what bondage you're going through. Maybe you got an addiction, a habit, something in your life that you're going through. But today we're going to put our foot upon that spirit, because Jesus defeated the devil. He rose up from the dead like Michelangelo in the Sistine ceiling. It's got a stone rolled back and a little demon pinned under the rock. Let me tell you, every devil was defeated when Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. Alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever bondage it is. And then the fourth thing I love, he rose up to heaven to our Father, and he prayed for the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That's the Lord delivering you from rejection. A lot of you feel like, man, God doesn't love me. God doesn't know me. God doesn't care about me. Oh, yes, he does. He loves you so much. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit, the down payment of your inheritance. And then the last one is that Jesus is interceding for us at the right hand of God about our money, about our problems. And that's the financial. You know, the devil loves to keep us bound financially, but God wants to bless you. I mean, if he give a fish with a gold coin in his mouth to pay his taxes, that'd blow the IRS's mind right there, wouldn't it? Let me tell you, God wants to supply all of your needs. So I want everybody in this building to stand up with me. Everybody. You stand up on the bleachers everywhere. How to change your world. Connect to the Holy Spirit. Speak the word of God. Separate from sin. And come on now, put your foot. I wanted you to stand, because I don't know which of these five that you're dealing with in your life, if it's condemnation or if it's sickness or if it's a bondage or if it's rejection or if it's a financial poverty. But come on now, you know what they like to do? They like to do this thing like, hi-ya. Come on now, put your foot, take it and just raise it up. Come on, all over the building. And I want to hear some, in Jesus' name, some hi-ya. Now that's kind of weak. Come on now, I want to really hear some dominion going on. Ready? That's all right, but I'm talking about new beginning today. Everything in your past is over. Come on, really give the devil all you've got. Ready? Yeah. Hey, some of you got all five. You just need to jump up and down on the devil with both feet right now and tell him he's defeated. in your life. Come on, give the Lord a great shout of praise. Woo! Oh, yes. Hey, Healing Place, that's how we're going to change our world.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.